Hi, everyone. This is Kevin. Today's Wednesday, September 30th. And on today's podcast, we're going to focus on what we need to do to keep ourselves healthy as we continue to live with COVID-19. So there's three people joining me today on the podcast. Pete Baker, president of our Metal Trades Council, is here, along with our docs, Doc Hurley and Doc Andrews. So welcome, everybody, to the podcast. Glad you could join us. So throughout the summer, EB averaged about one case of COVID-19 a week in our employees, so it was a pretty low rate. And then since September 1st, we've logged 25 new cases here at Electric Boat, so I think it's safe to say COVID is making a comeback here in New England. And so for context, a few cases were employees stationed away from our major sites, while the rest were split between Groton, Quonset Point, and New London. Compared with earlier in the pandemic, we're seeing more asymptomatic cases. That is, people are being tested positive, but they may not have symptoms. But the majority of the folks do have symptoms. So we're seeing a mix where folks are getting tested because of symptoms, contact with coworkers. So we're continuing to do our contact tracing, particularly with coworkers and family members who have tested positive. And we're also conducting new hire screenings, and we've seen some positive cases from those screenings. So in a moment, I'm going to ask the docs to weigh in on what the science and epidemiology is telling them about COVID at this point. But first, I want to reinforce how important it is to continue to practice our established COVID safety measures. Keep a physical distance from other people, sanitize your hands frequently, and wear a mask. I know we're 7 months into this thing, and just like you, people are getting fatigued. I feel fatigued from COVID. But I'll tell you that wearing a mask works. And it'll help keep you, your colleagues, and your family safe. So we want to continue to reinforce that. We've been conducting mask checks. We called it a mask blitz last week at the gates over the shift changes. And I want to be clear about this. A mask is required PPE at all Electric Boat facilities. There's no excuse for not wearing a mask. And we're now going to start doing periodic mask checks in the shipyard to ensure we're all compliant. So, Pete, you and I talk first. Welcome to the podcast. I'd like to say thanks to you and your leadership team for their great partnership all the while we've been dealing with COVID since the beginning, and even just last week in taking part in our recent mask blitz. So what have you been telling your folks in the MTC about the importance of being safe during COVID?
Well, first, I want to thank you for this opportunity to participate in this, but the Metal Trades Council is very concerned with the continued spread of the COVID-19, and with the flu season just starting, this could be a deadly combination. We are encouraging people to get their flu shots, wear a mask, and practice social distancing whenever possible.
I appreciate that, and I know we talked this morning. You are doing some encouraging through your newsletter. What is the newsletter, and where can people find that?
The newsletter has actually been around for about 40 years, and just recently we started a website. It's mtcnlc.org, and the newsletter Labor Views will be posted on there starting today.
Okay, and I think you're going to find somebody that, if you're a member of the MTC, that you all know and love with a mask on, so be sure to look for that picture. And I couldn't agree more. This is important that we're working together to the same goal of keeping everybody healthy. So let's talk about it from the perspective, if your folks have any questions about getting their hands on supplies, hand sanitizer, masks, what should they do?
Well, first, I want to thank our janitorial staff. Everybody's time is very precious, and those people have been working a ton of hours, long days, 7 days a week for months on end, trying to keep the facility clean and sanitized. They're doing a heck of a job. And I want to thank them for their efforts. If people have problems with supplies, whether it's hand sanitizer or mask, they can always go to their steward. They can contact an MTC safety rep, company safety rep, their supervisor, or the facilities department directly.
And I know from my own checking on this, we're amply stocked with everything that we need to address COVID and the recurrence of it here as we enter the fall. So. Thanks, Pete. Appreciate that. Another important measure we all should take to stay healthy is to go get a flu shot. I've gotten mine. I want everyone to get a flu shot. It's even more critical this year than ever before. So I'm an engineer. I'm not a doctor. So I've asked our resident experts, Docs Hurley and Andrews, to give us the facts. So to start, Doc Hurley, why is it so important for us to get a flu shot this year?
Well, the short answer is that getting a flu shot this year may actually save your life. Why? Because if you get one disease, it makes you more susceptible to the other. Since we only have one vaccine, namely the flu shot, it's imperative that you protect yourself from influenza this year. In a normal year, about 36 million people get the flu and nearly 24 to 62,000 people die from flu-related diseases. People with chronic health conditions are particularly susceptible to influenza. Often the elderly and children suffer the most. By getting a flu shot, an employee can reduce the chance of contracting the disease as well as any symptoms of the flu when and if they get it. Plus, getting a flu shot protects those around you so you don't become a spreader of influenza. The big question I've gotten this year is, what happens if I get both flu and COVID-19? Well, it's too early to know exactly how much worse that double whammy could be compared to having each virus on its own. COVID-19 didn't spread across the United States until the end of the 2019-2020 flu season, so there's not a lot of data yet on people who got both illnesses at the same time. What we suspect is that if you get both the flu and COVID at the same time, it will be catastrophic to your immune system. In addition, getting infected with one can make you more susceptible or vulnerable to getting sick with the other one. Once you get infected with the flu or some other respiratory virus, it weakens your immune system and it makes you that much more vulnerable to getting a second infection on top of that. Both COVID-19 and the flu attack the lungs, causing a pneumonia, filling the lungs with fluid and causing respiratory failure. Potential for pneumonia would be greater if the body is infected with both the flu and coronavirus at the same time. Having both illnesses simultaneously would increase the risk of long-term impairments to your lungs, heart, brain, and muscles. So get a flu vaccine. It might sound obvious, yet about half of all Americans don't get vaccinated against the flu, including most children who are at increased risk of dying from the flu. And since no COVID-19 vaccine is publicly available, the flu shot is the only way you can inoculate yourself against having both viruses at the same time.
Thanks, Doc. Good advice. We all know that there are folks here who just won't get a flu shot. I think we did the math on this a few weeks back, and we determined that only about a third of our people get it in any given year. And there's a whole bunch of excuses about why people don't do it. So let's talk about that. Doc Andrews, what are some of these myths, and help us bust some of those myths about what the actual science says about the flu vaccine?
First, thanks for asking the question. This is actually one of my favorite topics because there's so much misinformation out there, and it's more important than ever to actually know what the facts are and to get the facts right. So the one that I hear the most often is, I got the flu shot and I got the flu from the flu shot. And that first thing is, that is not possible. You cannot get the flu from the flu vaccine. The vaccine is either inactivated, or it's otherwise known as a killed virus, or it is from a single protein of the virus. Your body does take 2 weeks to mount an effective immune response. So if you get exposed to the flu within the first 2 weeks of having the vaccine, then the vaccine will likely be less effective and you will still be at risk and get sick, but it's not from the vaccine itself. It's just from the virus. The next thing that I hear is that people say, I know someone who got the shot and still got the flu. So it doesn't work. And the reality is that influenza is a virus. It is an organism, and that's what causes seasonal flu. So people do get sick. They get sick with lots of viruses. There's the rhinovirus, which is actually part of the common cold. But people still use the term the flu. So people may say, oh, I got the flu shot, and I got the flu, but really they had a different virus. Sometimes it's not even possible for our doctors, actually most of the time it's not possible for the doctors to differentiate which virus is making someone sick. So the term, again, the flu, is very commonly used, but it really is supposed to only be used for influenza. The other thing is that some years the vaccine is not as good a match to the influenza virus that is circulating in the community. However, even if the vaccine is not a perfect match for people who get vaccinated, they still will have less severe symptoms just from getting vaccinated. And the last thing I hear is that folks will say, oh, I never get sick, and it's not that serious if I do get the flu. And that's true for most people. Most people recover from the flu, but even healthy people can get the flu and develop long-term complications. We already talked about pneumonia, hospitalization, and even death. And like Dr. Hurley said, last year there was an estimated between 2,400 and 6,200 flu-related deaths in the U.S., and that was just from seasonal flu.
Thanks for that, Doc. You know, I know in my own case, I had the flu a long time ago, and the last meal I ate before that flu was Chinese food. I couldn't eat Chinese food for 3 years, so you don't want it. And I've religiously gotten my flu vaccine every year ever since. So thanks for that, and hopefully we've convinced some people who've got all the excuses in the world about why they don't want to get the flu shot to roll up their sleeve and get it. We're going to be doing some things this year, thanks to the docs and your teams, for making it really easy for employees to get their flu shot, more so than I think we've done before. We're going to have drive-up clinics along with scheduled and walk-in appointments. I know I got my shot. I actually came across Doc Andrews at Quonset Point in a pipe shop. She happened to be doing them, and sure enough, rolled my sleeve up on the spot and got the shot. And so it doesn't get more convenient than that. So before we close on the flu topic, I think our listeners would appreciate hearing your perspective or medical topics, I guess I should say, on what we might be seeing in our region over the remainder of 2020 with regard to COVID. So it's interesting because at the same time, Governor Lamont is preparing to move to phase three here in Connecticut, which allows increased restaurant capacity, larger gatherings. Just yesterday, Governor Raimondo announced that Rhode Island would stay at its current level. So we've got right not 15 miles from where we're sitting right now, we've got a significant difference in the way states are behaving with regard to COVID. We're also seeing schools modify their hybrid schedules when they have positive cases. So let's talk about COVID. What are your thoughts, and what can we expect through this winter before the vaccine becomes available? Doc Hurley, why don't you start?
So at this juncture, it's really too early to predict. Certainly most infectious disease experts think it's going to be a very bad winter. As we talked about earlier, what we fear is the double whammy of influenza and COVID together. Since it's difficult to tell the difference between COVID and the flu, we need to watch both. A couple of ways of tracking and predicting what's ahead is the Johns Hopkins COVID website, and the second is the influenza-like illness reporting system by the CDC. This past week, both Rhode Island and Connecticut were just a little bit above 1% for COVID, which is significantly under the Johns Hopkins 5% threshold. And for influenza-like illnesses, the region, of which all of New England is in it, was about 1.9%, and it was labeled minimal activity. These numbers for influenza-like illness is as of September 19th. CDC has shown a slight uptick in influenza-like illnesses in only the 0 to 4 age group. When one looks at these graphs, it's interesting that compared to last year, the U.S. is now starting from a much lower influenza-like illness infection rate than in 2019. We hope that this is a byproduct of our good COVID habits of washing hands, covering coughs, wearing masks, and social distancing. It's served us well so far. We need to continue to do those things. Here at Electric Bowl, what I can tell you is that the number of COVID cases has undergone an uptick within the past 10 days. We're carefully monitoring whether this is the beginning of a true surge or in cases or just a blip. Certainly with schools partially in session, this creates extra exposures. To be safe, I'd advise everyone to not engage in any additional activities such as might be available under a Connecticut Phase 3 reopening.
All right. Thanks, Doc Hurley. Appreciate that. Doc Andrews, how about some of your perspective?
Well, I really wish I knew the answer to what this winter would be like. I'm very concerned about an uptick in cases, particularly as it gets colder and everyone starts going inside. The very act of going inside means that people will be closer, there'll be less natural ventilation from the environment or from windows being open, and there'll be more contact with surfaces. I just think of the difference of having a socially distant picnic at the beach for dinner to having dinner in my dining room or at a local restaurant. As we head inside, I want to compliment folks that who are wearing a mask. But more importantly, people who are wearing it correctly, I see lots of noses peeking through, and so I do want to personally ask each and every one of you to cover your nose or have everyone cover their snoot. At the same time as it gets cold and everyone goes inside, it's also the same time that we're going to see cough and cold season kick in. So the thought of someone having COVID plus either the flu or even a common cold makes for, you know, possibly a deadly combo. As you mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, I mean, people are fatiguing of COVID, unfortunately, just because we want the virus to go away and we want life to get back to normal doesn't mean that we can. COVID fatigue is real, and everyone has to take kind of their own responsibility to not fatigue of COVID and continue to be vigilant and with social distancing, hand washing, mask wearing, and now we get to add on getting a flu vaccine.
Good points, docs. Really appreciate the great work you've done to help keep us safe. Really appreciate your time as well today. And Pete, thanks for your continued partnership. You and your leadership team have done, I think, a great service for your people, and we look forward to working with you as we enter into this next phase of COVID and flu season, and hopefully we can keep everybody safe. So that's all for now. Thank you all for listening, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.